Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Dylan Ambrose, counsel for the plaintiff appellant in this case, Mr. John Townsend. This case presents a simple question, whether there are genuine issues of material fact that prevent summary judgment in this case on the three claims, constitutional claims brought by Mr. Townsend. To this simple question is a simple answer, yes. Mr. Townsend has provided material facts by which a reasonable trier of fact could determine that the defendant violated his constitutional rights. Construing all evidence in the favor in the evidence light most favorable to Mr. Townsend, and drawing all reasonable inferences therefrom, the lower court's decision should be reversed. This case originates in Green Bay Correctional Institution in the summer of 2005, where they started a behavior action plan, a new procedure, by which they attempted to control the behavior of prisoners through depriving prisoners of privileges and depriving them of property.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but did Mr. Townsend ever receive a diagnosis of his mental health condition? In other words, where in the record would we find that diagnosis?
I believe it's conceded by the government in the admissions that he has a mental health problem. I believe that's it.
No, but that's not. A diagnosis? You know.
I believe he does have a diagnosis. I don't know if it's in the record per se, but it's certainly a concession by the defendants in this case. Where is he now? He's currently at another correctional institution, the Columbia Correctional Institution in Wisconsin.
Is he in some special place? Is he cured? Is he still having the same problem?
No, he still has a serious mental health problem, but he's being treated at this correctional institution. Presently.
There are no claims pending on that one.
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. Mr. Townsend was one of the inaugural members in June 2005 of this Behavior Action Plan, a program that is still in use and a program which the state admits there is no written policy on.
Still in use, though.
Still in use, yes, Your Honor. Mr. Townsend suffered from serious mental health problems during this period of time. The state has conceded this point. Mr. Townsend spent approximately 259 days on this behavior action plan, during which the type, if any, of bedding, clothing, warmth, food, mattress, blanket, were subject to the whim of the defendants in this case.
What is his best evidence of the psychologist treating him? Is his claim that the treatment deviated so much from the standard of care that their intent can be inferred? Was there evidence presented that the treatment deviated from the standard? You know, the proper standard of care.
Yes, I think the evidence is presented. There are material facts and evidence that suggest they were deliberately indifferent to his mental health needs in two separate areas. One is with the isolation he was put in. There is a document from the Department of Corrections that came out in January 2005, so about 5 months before he was put on the Behavior Action Plan, before the Behavior Action Plan was even initiated by the Green Bay Correctional Institution, named Treating Mentally Ill Prisoners in Segregated Settings. And in the executive summary, they note, inmates with psychological vulnerabilities can deteriorate if placed in settings that have significant social isolation and inactivity. And that's exactly what they put him in. They put him in a situation where he would be socially isolated in Behavior Action Plan, and that he would have less materials. They deprived him of his property and these privileges. They put him in a state that they knew would aggravate his condition. And we know that they knew that he complained about his condition being aggravated. We see that in his affidavit where he says he complained about this situation. He complained about the BAP. He said he heard voices in his head. He said he had problems based upon them taking all the things away from him. Yet they ignored him. At one point, he even said they laughed at him. So that would be deliberate indifference. And I think there's a separate area. And that is the very notion of this BAP is something that warehoused John Townsend rather than treated him. I think there's ample evidence that shows this, that what this did was it took observation, which is a way to treat mental health people, to observe them, which is a separate administrative protocol. And they also have a disciplinary protocol. That's DOC 303 versus DOC 311. There are two ways to deal with a mental health problem and a discipline problem. In this situation, what they did is they combined these two. But they eliminated all the due process that's involved with the observation or the disciplinary.
Why don't you expand on what would be, Mr. Townsend, in your view, the appropriate due process that ought to attend someone placed in a program that arguably is appropriate?
Well, I think they already have those. They have those protocols in place already. They have DOC 303. They have DOC 311. So I think the processes are already there. They just chose not to use them.
Well, he was regularly examined. This isn't somebody left for significant periods of time, right? I mean, let's for a second separate what you might argue is the inappropriateness of either the merger or the either plan standing alone. This isn't one of neglect. They attended to him. You just feel the attention was inappropriate, right?
I would suggest that the program, the BAP, was a way to warehouse him. Therefore, it was a way
all
to...
All prisons have a warehousing effect.
Sure.
And liberty becomes diminished once you become in the custody of the state or the federal government. So that doesn't get us too far, does it?
The deliberate indifference, though, comes when instead of putting them through an observation program where there are things put in place in order to protect him, to make sure that his mental health is dealt with, instead of doing that as mental health professionals, they kept him in the BAP and kept him there in essentially the same status.
He's challenging that the BAP has no therapeutic or medical basis, that is the isolation and then the slow return to privilege, that isn't an acceptable approach.
Correct. Correct. It's just punishment for you, somebody being bad. And that's what was borne out in the record. When he was first put on this BAP program, they took everything away. This isn't a situation like Bowers versus Pollard, where Mr. Bowers, the prison officials there, used the BAP to tailor his conditions to his own safety. This isn't a situation like Mr. Bowers, for instance, when he put a mattress up against the window, they took the mattress away. That was for his safety. When he started putting pieces of the mattress in his penis, they took the mattress away because that was dangerous to him. When he started threatening himself with earbuds, that was a danger to him, so they took the earbuds away. They didn't, in some carte blanche fashion, take away all these privileges like they did with Mr. Townsend. This is punishment. And as far as a due process claim goes, there is a couple other standards that need to be met. And I'd like to talk about the atypical and significant hardship in relation to the ordinary incidents of prison life. I'd like to clarify the standard. I think the Seventh Circuit standard is that announced in Wagner, which talks about in comparing one's own position in this BAP, so Mr. Townsend's position in this BAP, has to be compared to the Boscobel in Wisconsin, which is the high-class facility that actually takes care of some of the more dangerous, so the most restrictive prison facility in the state of Wisconsin. And even in comparing Mr. Townsend's conditions to those conditions of Boscobel, and we know those conditions because we see it from Gillis versus Lichter, which outlines what conditions actually happened to Mr. Gillis in that situation. We see that there's not much of a distinction between the way he was treated and the way that Mr. Gillis was treated.
You say that the BAP is still in operation in this prison, apparently.
That's correct.
Because it looks to me like this is almost a challenge against BAP in general rather than specific application. Is it different from prisoner to prisoner?
This is a personal application of Mr. Townsend. I don't know if he is standing in order to bring a full challenge to the BAP program at the Green Bay Correctional Institution.
Well, I don't know either, but it sounds to me like that this was, I guess he was the first person that was applied to or one of the first. Is that what you were saying?
Pardon me?
He was one of the first prisoners that this method was used?
Yes. Record shows that they started the BAP program in the summer of 2005, and he was one of the inaugural members in June of 2005.
So there have been, I assume, a lot of other prisoners that have gone to this to a different degree. See, the thing is, he's got It seems undisputed, at least, especially if you got to the third issue about the psychologists who seem to be talking to him or evaluating him quite frequently, that this is not some deliberate indifference. These people show up, and maybe they don't do the right thing. He covers up the window on his, he uses his mattress and does all sorts of things. It's obviously a pretty miserable existence from a standpoint, but he's making it miserable. Maybe it's just because his mental capacity, he doesn't know how to deal with it. But threatening suicide, then they have to take certain precautions. It just seems like an ongoing back and forth. You know, sometimes he gains back some of his stuff and then they take it away. That's kind of weird, but nevertheless, that's what it is. I guess I'm just, because at one point he said he was for many weeks naked in his cell. And yet, you've got these psychologists looking at him on once or twice a week.
When he's in observation, the psychologists were looking on him. And he was in periods of observation throughout this behavior action plan. But that's not necessarily the case when he's on the behavior action plan.
So he maintains that he was naked in his cell for several weeks.
That's correct.
Now, that's pretty far-fetched when you've got a lot of people dealing with him. I guess you'd have to say they knew it and didn't care, or what?
Yes, I'd say that there's deliberate indifference. They knew that he was naked, and they allowed him to be that way. In fact, they're the ones that chose what level of clothing he would have. Whether
he had to wear the paper stuff and things, and, you know, to prevent suicide and one thing and another. I wondered why it didn't happen a lot sooner that they shipped him somewhere else.
Well, I believe he was listed in May as an urgent transfer to the resource center in Wisconsin, but it did not go through.
So they were trying to get rid of him.
Maybe
he was trying to get out of there.
Well, I think he was seeking treatment, and I think this is a big distinction between Bowers versus Pollard in this case. Whereas Mr. Bowers was seeking to get back to general population, Mr. Townsend was seeking observation. He was seeking help. He was seeking to get in a program where they'd have to review him and make sure his mental health got better.
They made fun of him when he went in general population.
Well, I think that was actually when they made fun of him was he was wearing a segregation smock and no shoes, and he was paraded down to a meeting that he was required to go to by Dr. Breen Smith. And that's when he was humiliated. Yes.
Ms. Townsend, I still want to focus, so I could a little bit, on whether your challenge is to the application of the BAP or that this program stand alone using Mr. Cooper as a,
Mr. Townsend.
Townsend, as an example, courts are not really qualified to judge the efficacy of mental health programs, and sometimes we confront it. And these are serious challenges for prison officials when somebody is troubled, as we have here. So I'm trying to see how you want us to view this. I understand your Eighth Amendment claim. That is what it is, but I want to focus on this due process a little bit. What is it about the program that you challenge? Do you think mental professionals could never find any value in a program like this? Or is it just the application in this case?
I think it starts with the fact that this isn't tethered to any statute, any administrative code. This is something that was invented at the Green Bay Correctional Institution as a means to circumvent.
Well, not by prison officials in the custodial sense, but by mental health professionals, right? They created it.
No, Your Honor. This was a multidisciplinary group. It involved the security.
Well, I understand it has custodians involved, but it's informed, is it not, by mental health professionals?
They are part of the decision, yes.
Yeah. So you want us to find that they created a program that has no therapeutic value, in effect?
Yes, Your Honor. It doesn't have therapeutic value because for Mr. Townsend, who is mentally ill, it aggravated his condition. And he had no notice. He had no ability to object to being put on this behavior action plan.
Back to my earlier question of what fail-safe or filters we should have in place for a program that and as you would argue, Mr. Ambrose, it doesn't work. Now, here we have somebody who's watched, but not moved in the direction that you think he ought to be, right?
Correct.
So are you suggesting that there should be more frequent review in a program like this? Because that's why we don't have sufficient due process for Mr. Townsend?
I think he should be able to be involved in those decisions.
How could a person as troubled as Mr. Townsend, Mr. Ambrose, be involved? I mean, he's able to communicate his concerns and his pain, right?
Absolutely.
You're not suggesting he offers up a new program? I mean, I'm just trying to grapple with how we would approach this in explaining, if your position were to prevail, what process should take place.
I believe this were a truly administrative program that were there to treat John Townsend. There might be an ability to create an administrative code or create some statute that allows them to go beyond what's already in the statute. However, I don't think that's what this was. This wasn't forced treatment. This was to punish him. They took things away when you behave bad.
Well, couldn't we agree that the removal of property or clothing is always going to have a negative impact on somebody who wants them, right?
That's correct.
Whether you're mentally ill or not. And you're not challenging that simple procedure of removal of things as necessarily unconstitutional.
Well, yes. In this instance, what we have is they took those away to punish him. And they didn't do it to treat him. And we know that.
Isn't this reward of the return as you make progress part of that approach? I'm not in any way an expert on whether that's appropriate, but isn't that the starting point where you go to like ground zero and then have to build up the return of items based on modified conduct?
Well, ground zero was having a full range of rights and privileges and property with them. They deprived him of those things when he didn't behave himself. And they didn't do it for safety and security. And that's what the discipline code allows, to deprive somebody of property privileges when the safety and security is an issue. And that wasn't the case here. There was no safety and security in June when he got in a fight. Therefore, they took all of his clothes away. They took all of his mattress away. They took his food rights away. That has nothing to do much like it did in Bowers versus Pollard, it had nothing to do with the actual harm or some sort of safety or security of Mr. Townsend.
All right. Mr. Ambrose, your time has expired. I know you had reserved some time for rebuttal, and we've asked several questions, so I'll allow you a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
I appreciate it, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ambrose. Ms. Banse? How close was I on the pronunciation?
You were really good, Your Honor. Usually I get bans, so it's bansy.
Bansy, all right, well.
But.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give myself a passing grade.
Very good, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Crystal Banzi, Assistant Attorney General from the State of Wisconsin, and I represent the defendants' appellees in this case, Sarah Cooper, William Swiekotowski, Mark Zamanek, Dr. Breen Smith, Dr. Hamilton, and William Pollard. Your Honors, what this case essentially is about is the dilemma faced by prison officials when dealing with self-destructive, suicidal inmates and balancing their needs to be constitutionally protected as well as protected from themselves and how to deal with an inmate like that.
Well, you certainly concede that he had serious mental health problems. I don't know what the diagnosis was, and I'm wondering what steps were taken to diagnose and treat the serious mental health issues. He attempted suicide several times, which, of course, we'll all take, I would hope, as a sign of major depression. He heard voices, which is a serious symptom associated with severe mental illness. He thought he was being poisoned, a sign of paranoia. He had really serious mental problems. Where is the treatment record?
Well, Your Honor, the treatment was the treatment he received from Drs. Green-Smith and Dr. Hamilton. The behavior action plan was part of that. But what it really boiled down to was the fact that as prison administrators, the defendants had to ensure his safety. That's number one priority, to ensure that he is safe and that other inmates and staff are safe from him. They cannot treat him until they can ensure he's safe. And these behavior action plans began, as counsel said, a part of a multidisciplinary team decision after a history of disruptive threats of suicide, suicide attempts. And they weren't just started because of a minor rule infraction.
The district court found that the BAP is designed to provide positive rewards for positive behavior. Conversely, property is removed for bad behavior. That sounds like discipline. That doesn't sound like treatment. How is that not a concession that that was discipline? It's an incentive program to modify behavior, right?
Not exactly, Your Honor. The behavior action plan is true, rooted in the idea of positive rewards for positive behavior, but it's not if someone does something bad that the property is taken away. It's if they become unstable and they need to remove the property because of a safety concern or because Mr. Townsend threatened suicide or made threats to staff, which the record is just replete of those types of things. That was something Townsend did on a regular basis. And
those would be distinguished from something that's like eating utensils and things. He can injure himself. And so they... But there's other personal property that maybe for his, I don't know, books or something else that he'd like to have, that just they take that away because he did something or some type of a behavioral thing. And so this I know you don't want to use the word punishment, but you have a reward and incentives and things like that, but they disobey or something. So you have two tiers here. One, to protect him from hurting himself, and the other to, we'll call it, discipline him for behavior that is contrary to what he's supposed to, the way he's supposed to act in prison, putting stuff over his window and various and sundry other things. So you actually have two levels of taking things away from him. And I think that distinction, I don't know what that distinction is.
There is a distinction, Your Honor, and in the behavioral action plans, in the record, nothing of the sort of like a book was ever taken away. Only things that were, perhaps it was switched from a regular mattress to a segregation mattress after he made a threat of self-harm. Whether he just says, hey, I want to hurt myself, or goes into detail, or, you know, is seen with him putting a sheet above on his neck, all of those have to be taken just as seriously as someone saying, hey, I'm here, I feel suicidal, I might kill myself.
Speaking of seriously, you didn't respond to his claim that the prison psychologist met some of his statements with laughter, which, of course, is never appropriate for mental health professionals. That's not just malpractice if it's true. It's malice if it's true. So why is that not an issue of fact that needs to be resolved, that they were laughing at him?
Well, for one thing, Your Honor, I think that, under the deliberate indifference standard, the treatment would have to be so blatantly inappropriate as evidence. Comments can be very insensitive, very unprofessional. There are cases out there in which people have made comments like that. But they did continue to treat Mr. Townsend. And we're not by any means conceding that that happened. But we do believe that that's not a material fact, because he was continually receiving treatment. He would request to be seen by Dr. Breen Smith. She'd go to his door. His door would be covered, and he'd refuse to talk to her. She'd go back the next day. Maybe he'd talk to her. Maybe he wouldn't.
Well, the district court noted that Breen Smith placed him on continued observation to await stability. Is that mental health treatment? Because that certainly seems like complete passivity in the face of serious mental illness. I mean, is awaiting stability an accepted treatment for depression, psychosis, paranoia? I mean, what did they do to stabilize him?
Well, for one thing, being placed in observation, obviously very uncomfortable, not a place that you would want to be in, but someone's placed in there if they've made statements or done actions that have the prison officials' reasonable belief that they may try to hurt or harm themselves or others. And Townsend's had a lot of different situations like that. So, yes, psychologist is involved in the recommending placement of OBS and comes and talks to or attempts to, in Townsend's case, to assess his mental stability, work through issues. There is treatment going on while they make their notes and they make record.
There are some hints in the record that the psychologist believed he was malingering. Page 28 in the district court's opinion, the psychologist tells him, you're never going to go to the Wisconsin Resource Center because, there's nothing wrong with you. And they also thought he was seeking observation placements for gain, according to your brief at page 10. So if that is the case, how could any of this be justified as mental health treatment rather than discipline? And if it was discipline, then where was his notice and opportunity to respond?
Well, Your Honor, I think Bowers versus Pollard is instructive in this particular situation. In that case, the psychologist also thought he was malingering, even though he was involved in some much more serious, actual self-successful and self-harm. So there can be a disagreement between healthcare professionals, particularly in the psychology field. There was nothing presented by any expert or anything that what they did deviated from the standard of force, or that they did anything that wasn't, with the number one goal of keeping him safe and getting him stabilized so he could get back to the normal type of prison life.
Was there an alternative in that prison to the BAP, or I don't know what you want to call it, treating or putting him in a place where it was focused more on mental health as opposed to, I assume this BAP was applied to a lot of people who didn't necessarily have mental problems, but they had some serious behavioral problems getting along with other people and that sort of thing. Was there an alternative in that prison?
No, Your Honor. And also...
He was eventually put somewhere else.
Correct.
Apparently he was on some kind of a waiting list to go somewhere else?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I'm not exactly sure the circumstances in which he transferred to Columbia. But I do know that that priority urgent transfer to the Wisconsin Resource Center that was requested was passed to the WRC for review. They can only accept patients. During that process, it was discovered there was a special placements need in place with Mr. Townsend. There was another inmate at the WRC that he could not be placed with, which is why they withdrew the request. The Wisconsin Resource Center.
The
mental health institution within our prison system.
The prison system. Okay. And there just wasn't any room?
No, he had a special placements need, meaning that someone at the Wisconsin Resource Center was there who Townsend could not be placed with for whatever reasons, which is why.
What do you mean they put him in the same room?
I don't know the details of it, Your Honor, but something was in place that he could not be with this other inmate.
I don't understand that, but I guess there's a reason. I assume there's more than two people in this prison.
Correct.
Whatever it is.
Correct.
And they have bases that separate them. But I don't know. We don't run prisons. That's part of our problem.
I see my time is up. Thank you.
Mr. Ambrose.
Judge Rovner, to answer your question, I believe that the appendix at page 406 has it does detail his diagnosis, Mr. Townsend's diagnosis. With respect to mental health, I think illustrative of this situation was in January and February of 2006 when Mr. Townsend was in an extended period of time in observation. And any time you're in an extended period of time for observation, over 15 working days, the mental health professionals are required to do a review of dangerousness. And the one time in which this did occur during this period of time, they didn't do it. The day that he was supposed to have the review of dangerousness, he was released and placed on a behavior action plan in a reduced level of a behavior action plan than he previously was on. So more privileges and property was taken away.
Bruce, if you were successful on the due process claim in this case, what would you be presenting at the trial level?
I'd be presenting, essentially what I'd be showing is there was an atypical and significant hardship in relation to the ordinary incidents of prison life.
Would you propose calling mental health professionals to critique the program? Is that, and to establish that its failure is inherent in its structure?
I believe in other cases, I believe in the Gillis versus Lichter case, there were experts that opined on such things. If there was a prison, an expert in prison discipline, and there was also a mental health professional that testified in those situations.
Would you be seeking damages for the period of time that he was in this?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's what this case is all about.
That is what this case is about. But you are correct in noting that there is a larger issue about whether or not the correctional institutions in Wisconsin are taking the Seventh Circuit's advice and direction about how to deal with these situations as they announced in Gillis v. Lichter.
So we do have to do something globally about the AAP?
If the correctional institutions in Wisconsin are not following the Seventh Circuit's direction in Gillis v. Lichter, yes, I believe.
But who's going to assess the total impact of BAP? You're just isolated on one person in this case.
It certainly would be difficult, but certainly some guidance, maybe on this personal level, the facts applied to Mr. Townsend's case, could be helpful for the correctional institutions in Wisconsin. Your Honor, I see that my time is up. I'd just like to close by saying we'd like to we'd ask the court to reverse the lower court's decision on summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambrose. Ms. Benzie and other counsel, the case is taken under advisement.